Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 37 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
It is the key to leaping forward as a state.
Kentucky's governor presented his budget to lawmakers last night.
And Republicans are reacting to that proposal.
A bill to raise the age for tobacco sales passed the Senate.
The U.S. Census Bureau is looking for hundreds of workers in Kentucky.
The death of a man in Lexington is being investigated.
In sports, the Wildcats return to Rupp Arena tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Flurries tonight with a low around 29. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
Governor Andy Beshear laid out his spending priorities in an address before state lawmakers last night. Beshear called for increasing funding in public education and resources to hire new social workers. Senate President Robert Stivers says GOP leaders still do not have enough information on various aspects of the budget, however.
Well, it depends. We don't know that this one doesn't have spending cuts because we don't know what has he done to Cabinets for Health and Family and Children. What has he done to public protection?
Beshear did not propose casino gambling as a way to raise more money, but called on lawmakers to eventually pass it, as other Republican-led states have. The two-year spending plan must be approved before the General Assembly adjourns on April 15th.
Governor Andy Beshear's proposed budget received high marks from teachers who helped propel him to office, but Republicans say large parts of the plan still remain shrouded in uncertainty. WUKY's Josh James has more.
The governor's inaugural budget was, in many ways, music to the ears of educators who mounted massive protests against his predecessor. Across-the-board raises for teachers, an increase in per-pupil funding, and an end to routine reductions in higher education dollars. Teacher Michelle Armstrong said she heard a plan that parted ways with former Governor Matt Bevin's often dire budget predictions.
He has demonstrated that the funds exist, that he's not just putting a budget out there that we don't actually have the money to cover it with. So I was very happy with it.
The first impression from Republicans?
I would say my best way to describe it is skeptical.
Senate President Robert Stivers said lawmakers were not briefed ahead of time and remain in the dark about how Beshear proposes to shift funds within state government.
The overall general fund, there may not be a reduction, but what has he done to the judicial branch? What's happening? We don't know what they have proposed. Overall spending may stay the same, but where are they prioritizing and put the money within the respective budget units?
The House will be the first to get a closer look at those numbers. The Republican-led chamber hopes to deliver their version of the spending plan to the Senate by the end of February. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
The Kentucky Senate passed a bill to raise the legal age to purchase tobacco products from 18 to 21 this week. A 2019 survey reveals 53% of high school students in the Commonwealth have tried e-cigarettes, and the bill hopes to prevent that. The state of Kentucky brings in more than $500 million a year from tobacco sales, with only $3 million of the money budgeted for prevention and cessation of tobacco. President and CEO of Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky, Ben Chandler, says the new bill is necessary for the state.
Vaping products are considered tobacco products, and consequently they would be under this law. And we've seen an epidemic in the use of those products by young people. Studies have shown that if you raise the age to 21, middle schoolers, high schoolers are much less likely to get hold of those products.
According to the State Cabinet for Health and Family Services, more than 8,000 Kentuckians die from tobacco-related illnesses each year.
Kentucky lawmakers are considering putting an excise tax on e-cigarettes sold in the Commonwealth. The tax would be equal to the current tax on traditional cigarettes, which is $1.10 per pack. Republican Representative Jerry Miller of Louisville is the bill's primary sponsor. He points out his colleagues are struggling to come up with a state budget amid the worst projected revenue growth in decades, largely due to tax cuts. He says House Bill 32 would bring a much-needed state revenue while improving Kentuckians' health.
But this tax has the added benefit and the primary benefit, really, of reducing use by young people, pregnant mothers, just simply because they are more price sensitive.
Yesterday evening, Governor Andy Beshear announced his budget plan for the next 2 years. According to the latest Kentucky Health Issues poll, 3 out of 4 Kentucky adults approve taxing e-cigarettes and vaping products. That support includes 78% of Democrats, 76% of Republicans, and 72% of independent voters.
State lawmakers may look to West Virginia to help come up to a decision on whether Kentucky should switch to a defined contribution retirement plan for teachers. The state formerly ran on the West Virginia Teachers Retirement System, which was shut down in the 1990s after it was unable to provide adequate income for retiring teachers. David Haney is the executive director of the West Virginia Education Association. He says the state had problems with underfunding and poor 401k plans.
The biggest problem was the state here in West Virginia offered no education for the participants in plan. Education employees are not investment experts, and so consequently, many of the participants really suffered in terms of their ability to grow their investments.
In 2008, Haney worked with former Governor Joe Manchin to reopen the defined benefit plan. Prior to the switch in 2005, 83% of senior West Virginia teachers had an average of $23,000 in their 401k.
The Kentucky House passed legislation Tuesday that would allow older homeless teenagers to receive outpatient mental health care without parental consent. WMKY's Sarah Fashipe has the story.
House Bill 213, sponsored by House Minority Leader Joni Jenkins and House Speaker David Meade, would allow youth ages 16 to 18 under federal law who are defined as unaccompanied youth to receive outpatient mental health counseling from a qualified provider at the child's request. Jenkins said the bill is expected to help about 3,000 young people in Kentucky with the help of their local school district to get the care they need. House Bill 213 passed the House by a vote of 95-0 and now goes to the Senate for consideration. For WMKY News, I'm Sarah Feshkbe.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, presenting the Moorhead Antique and Art Market March 6th and 7th at the Moorhead Conference Center. Vendors from Kentucky, Ohio, and West Virginia, juried art market and professional appraisers, 5 to 9 p.m. on Friday, March 6th, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, March 7th. The Moorhead Antique and Art Market, March 6th and 7th at the Moorhead Conference Center in downtown Moorhead.
Officials with the U.S. Census Bureau estimate they still need tens of thousands of workers to perform the once-a-decade headcount in Kentucky. The Bureau isn't just gearing up to count those living in the Commonwealth. They're also crunching the numbers when it comes to employees. In all, the Bureau still needs 40,000 workers. John Shotwell with the Lexington Area Census Office says this.
And we have to recruit a lot more than we're actually going to need, because by the time we contact them and say, are you still interested in working for the citizens, some of the people decline. So we have to actually recruit quite a few more than we need to make sure we have the number we need to make those calls.
The 2020 census will be launched April 1st, after which residents can respond to mailings by phone, online, or through regular mail.
Amid the U.S. Senate impeachment trial of President Donald Trump in Washington, D.C., a small group of protesters gathered in downtown Lexington to call for a vote to allow witnesses. Protesters wanted Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to hear them loud and clear. Activist Rita Swan tells LEX18 she doesn't believe the event will make much of a difference.
I think he's not responsive to the constituents. I don't think he cares.
In a statement released by his office, McConnell said he appreciates hearing from Kentuckians and makes it a top priority to respond to those who contact his office.
Lexington police have arrested a man in connection with the death of a young child in 2018. Here's KNN's Suzanne Duvall.
33-year-old Andrew Buster is accused of sexually assaulting and killing 3-year-old Lillianne Grace Reck. Officers were dispatched to an apartment in Lexington on December 10, 2018 for an unresponsive child. Police say Buster was watching Lillianne while her mother was at work. Lillianne died at the hospital 4 days later. Buster is charged with murder and sodomy. He's being held without bond at the Fayette County Detention Center. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
Police are investigating a fatal officer-involved shooting that occurred at the scene of a car crash early Tuesday morning in Pike County. Kentucky State Police tells Mountaintop Media that troopers shot a person at the scene of a fatal two-vehicle crash on Kentucky Highway 805 at Shelby Gap. The shooting occurred just meters away from the scene, and the individual shot by police died at the scene. Kentucky State Police Post 9 spokesperson Trooper William Petrie confirmed that the shooting was not related to the crash. Petrie said the shooting resulted from a high-speed pursuit which originated near Elkhorn City and led police along Elkhorn Creek Road toward Kentucky 805 at Shelby Gap. Petrie said the pursuit then traveled toward the crash scene where the driver tried to ram a trooper. No other injuries were reported as a result of the pursuit or the shooting. Both the investigation into the shooting and the investigation into the fatal crash are ongoing. The identities of those involved has not yet been released.
Lexington police are working with the Fayette County Coroner's Office as they investigate a man's death. WMKY's Eden Jordan has that story.
The man was found around 8:30 a.m. Wednesday in a woodline off Sir Barton Way near the gas station in front of Walmart. Fayette County Coroner Gary Ginn said it initially seemed like the man died from cold temperatures the night before. The coroner told WKYT the victim was homeless. The news of this death comes just before the Office of Homelessness Prevention and Intervention conducts its annual count of the number of homeless in Lexington. Director Polly Ruddick tells WKYT that it's her organization's mission to help identify and give resources to those living on the streets. In 2019, the number of homeless in the Lexington area totaled 787. Ruddick says she hopes that the number drops closer to 750. Lexington police said the area where the man was found dead is a popular place for the homeless to set up camps. For WMKY News, I'm Eden Jordan.
Two men face charges in connection with a double homicide that occurred in 2019. 20-year-old John Boulder and 20-year-old Deshaun Armour are both charged in the shooting deaths of Dwayne Slaughter and Darian Webb. Both Boulder and Armour are already incarcerated in the Fayette County Detention Center on unrelated charges. Boulder is charged with facilitation to murder, first-degree facilitation to wanton endangerment, and tampering with physical evidence. Armour is charged with two counts of murder, first-degree assault, first-degree wanton endangerment, and tampering with physical evidence. The shooting took place last October in the area of Winchester Road and 7th Street in Lexington. Three people, all 18 years of age, were struck and transported to a hospital for injuries. Slaughter and Webb both died at UK Medical Center. The third victim survived. Boulder is also a suspect in the shooting death of DeMontreal Fulgham.
Kentucky State Police have released new information about an officer-involved shooting in Greenup County this morning. WMKY's Rachel Turner has that story.
In a statement, KSP said members of the Ohio State Highway Patrol attempted to pull over a vehicle on U.S. 23 in Scioto County for an obstructed license plate. The driver fled, causing OHP to pursue. Officials said that at times, shots were exchanged with the fleeing vehicle. The pursuit crossed over into Kentucky on U.S. 23 when shots were fired again at officers with the Portsmouth Police Department who were helping in the pursuit. Portsmouth Police returned fire, hitting and injuring the driver, 31-year-old Amanda Cochran of Ironton, Ohio. Cochran had three active warrants out for her arrest. She was airlifted to St. Mary's Medical Center with non-life-threatening injuries. Her passenger, John Knotts of Pedro, Ohio, is in the Greenup County Detention Center. He's facing charges of drug trafficking and possession. A KSP investigation into the incident is ongoing. For WMKY News, I'm Rachel Turner.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tonight, scattered flurries between 11 and midnight, otherwise cloudy with a low around 29. Thursday, partly sunny, a high near 41. Thursday night, mostly cloudy skies, a low around 31. Friday, a 30% chance of snow and rain, otherwise cloudy skies, a high near 46. Friday night, a 40% chance of rain, cloudy with a low around 37. For Saturday, a 30% chance of rain, otherwise mostly cloudy skies with a high near 45. Taking a look at current temperatures around the region, it's 37 degrees in Grayson, 37 in Winchester, Ashland, Mount Sterling, Lexington, 39 degrees over in Inez, and here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University, it's 37 degrees.
On our feature segment today, Governor Andy Beshear outlined his first budget to lawmakers on Tuesday, which he says prioritizes education. WMKY News Director Leanne Akers spoke with Senior Advisor Rocky Adkins about how that could impact regional universities and public schools.
There's no cuts whatsoever in this budget for higher education, elementary, secondary education, or any other agency across state government, which is very positive and gets us back on the right track. There's a 1% increase to the base funding of higher education across Kentucky, which is so important right now to stop the bleeding and put that money into the base funding.
Beshear's new senior advisor spent many years as the representative for the 99th District and a lot of time advocating for Morehead State University and regional universities like it. Adkins says the proposed budget includes the number one ask for higher education, a $200 million resurgent bond pool.
It allows universities to access this bond pool to be able to upgrade their facilities, whether it be HVAC or to renovate facilities, a $200 million resurgence bond pool that they've been asking for years that's in this budget. There's also the authorization of $430 million of agency bonds, which allows universities to do capital construction if they so choose.
Following cuts to higher education in 12 of the last 13 years, the proposed budget ends the repeated slashing of post-secondary funding and begins building back with a 1% increase for all institutions. Beshear is also proposing a freeze on performance-based funding.
He believes performance-based funding will not work without an influx of a lot more dollars into higher education. And we know what performance-based funding has done to Morehead State, Murray State, Kentucky State, Eastern Kentucky University. And the governor really believes, and I believe, that if we continue down this path without increased funding, a lot of increased funding in higher ed, that some of our universities are going to continue to suffer and not be able to offer the educational opportunities they deserve.
Adkins says the budget also adds money for additional students at the Craft Academy at Morehead State, but most importantly for higher education, as well as all public schools and quasi-governmental agencies, it addresses the need to meet pension obligations.
What the governor did in this budget, he gave $18.7 million to the regional universities to help meet their pension obligations for those employees who are still in the retirement system. And what this does for Morehead State University, it basically saves them several million dollars that they'll be able to put back in to the instruction, into the professors, into the campus itself, money that will remain in the budget instead of having to pay out for its pension obligations.
At the K-12 level, Beshear proposed a $2,000 raise for teachers, 1% SEEK per pupil funding increase, providing an additional $87.5 million for public schools, $11 million each year for new textbooks, and $18.2 million for school security upgrades. The question on the minds of many is, how will Kentucky pay for all those increases?
We are using the revenue forecasting numbers that we have to use from the consensus forecasting group. We're using their numbers, which gives us 800 and some odd million dollars extra from last year to put into this budget. We are using efficiencies where we are getting settlements of cases that are being solved that's bringing in several million dollars as well. We're also in this budget proposing some very, very modest type of revenue proposals that we believe are realistic. Matter of fact, they're proposals that are sponsored by members of the Republican majority, which have super majorities.
The state legislature will now consider the proposed budget. For WMKY News, I'm Leanne Akers. It's 449 and 36 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Sarah Mead, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Nacogdoches Miller has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
The Wildcats return to Rupp Arena tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Nacogdoches Miller. Number 13 Kentucky hosts the Vanderbilt Commodores tonight at Rupp Arena. The Cats are coming off a gritty 76-74 overtime win over Texas Tech on Saturday and faces another tough road contest this weekend at number 17 Auburn. But UK assistant coach Joel Justice says the staff has been hard at work teaching the young Wildcats not to overlook opponents like Vanderbilt as they work to become a better team.
It's about being professional every single day. If this is what you want to become, and that's the kind of question that Cal asks each one of them every day, is do you really want to be professional, and how hard are you working to master your craft? How hard are you working to be professional? And I think that's the challenge that our staff gives each one of these guys every single day.
Vanderbilt comes into the game at 8-11 overall and still looking for its first conference win of the season. Tip-off between the Cats and Commodores in Lexington is set for 6:30 p.m. tonight. The Morehead State University women's basketball team is back at home this week after being on the road for four straight games. The Eagles went 2-2 for their road stretch, most recently getting a win over Jacksonville State Saturday 69-55. However, head coach Greg Todd says just because the team is back at home doesn't mean it's going to be an easy week.
We have two of the top teams in the conference coming in to play this weekend. We know we'll have a tough battle, but we're looking forward to that. But we did have, I felt like a successful road trips. We were able to split both road trips, get a big win at Jacksonville State on Saturday. So that was a good thing, and real proud of our young team.
The women are scheduled to tip off against Southeast Missouri at 5 p.m. tomorrow. The Morehead State University men's basketball team didn't have as much luck during their recent road stretch. The Eagle men dropped all four of their road games, most recently falling to Jacksonville State 72-51. Still, head coach Preston Spaulding says it was pretty clear where the team went wrong. He says his guys got away from the team-based style of play, which brought them success earlier in the season.
We had really been sharing the ball terrifically as a team this year. Our pass count had been through the roof. Our assists had been second in the league. And then just coming in that game and kind of got into a one-on-one battle with Tennessee State. Us, the way that we need to play really good team basketball. And so we kind of got away from that, took a lot of tough shots, did not shoot the ball particularly well, obviously 0 of 13 from the three, did not shoot enough threes and didn't get enough quality ones.
The Morehead State men's basketball team will tip off against Southeast Missouri at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. The University of Pikeville's men's basketball coach has announced he will be stepping down at the end of the season. WMKY's Greg Jenkins reports.
A statement was released on upikebears.com Wednesday saying Kelly Wells will step down from his position effective at the end of the current season and redirect his full attention to his post as the university's director of athletics. Wells leaves the men's basketball program as the winningest coach in university history with 328 total wins as of his announcement across his 14 seasons in Pikeville. He also boasts the best winning percentage by any Pikeville basketball coach with more than a four-year tenure. The Morehead native put UPike men's basketball on the map nationally in his time as coach, leading the Bears to 8 of their 13 NAIA tournament appearances, including the last 7 straight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
The Round County Senior High School boys basketball team is preparing for their matchup with Fleming County on Friday. The team is coming off a win over Russell last night, 54-38. Head coach Sean Thecker says while the team currently holds the number 2 spot in the region, his guys are continuing to find things to work on.
Defensively, you know, we feel like we still have room to develop. We like where we are defensively. I think we're ranked 19th in the state in scoring defense, so, you know, we're doing something right. But on the other side of that, we feel like, you know, there's still we got to improve if we want to achieve the goals that we want to achieve.
Friday's contest against Fleming County will be at home. Tip-off against the Panthers is set for 7:30. And finally, in sports this afternoon, a new signee for the Cincinnati Reds is expecting big things with his new club. Cincy announced signing free agent Nick Cincianos to a four-year, $64 million contract Monday evening. During a press conference yesterday, Castellanos tells Reds.com he knows about the legacy of the Reds ball club and is ready to do his part.
This whole experience is kind of surreal, you know. I'm just excited. I really like this team that we have put together, you know, coming over here and facing the starting pitching that the Reds have. You know, I know how dangerous it can be. And playing with a couple of guys on the Reds throughout the minor leagues and, like, against them in my career, I'm excited. That's pretty much all I could say.
Castellanos' contract comes with a $20 million mutual option for 2024. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's and women's basketball will host Southeast Missouri on Thursday and UT Martin on Saturday. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks closed little changed even after the Federal Reserve kept interest rates steady and maintained a positive view on the U.S. economy. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 11.6, although well off of earlier highs at 28,734.45. The S&P 500 was down 2.84 at 3273.40, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 5.48 at 9275.16. Giving the NASDAQ a lift was Apple, which finished at an all-time high at $324.34, up over $6 a share on the day. The stock very strong today after reporting quarterly earnings that beat expectations. McDonald's, another Dow component, posted better-than-expected quarterly results, sending their stock up almost 2%. Dow Incorporated and ADP both reported profits that beat analyst estimates as well. GE had a good report, and GE stock was one of your big winners in the S&P 500 today, finishing up over 10%. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield on the heels of the Fed announcement about keeping interest rates steady actually fell to 1.59%, and as bond prices went up today, and the 2-year rate slipped to 1.42%. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.625%, finishing at $53.15 a barrel after being up earlier in the day. Gold was up 0.4% at $1,576.40 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a pretty good day with the Stock 600 index up 0.4%. Asia was mixed, and of course the effect of the flu from China still having an impact on markets. The Nikkei was up 0.7%, but the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down almost 3%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was U.S. Bancorp down 23 cents at 53.63, Lowe's down 72 cents at 120.43, Delta Airlines down 84 cents at 56.64, Marathon Petroleum up 67 cents at 53.60, and PPL Energy was up 12 cents to finish at 36.76. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from Papa John's Pizza in the Patrick Center, Moorhead. Papa John's made-to-order specialty pizzas include the Meats, the Works, Tuscan 6 Cheese, and many more. Side items include garlic parmesan breadsticks, cheese sticks, chicken wings, and poppers. Desserts include chocolate chip cookie and double chocolate chip brownie. For pickup and delivery in Moorhead and Round County, Papa John's can be reached at 784-3551 and online at papajohns.com.
Taking a look at some events coming up around the region, the Paramount Arts Center in Ashland presents Aaron Lewis, Acoustic Songs and Stories, at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, January 30th. Tickets are priced from $40 to $75.
High school and transfer students are invited to an open house at Moorhead State University on Saturday, February 1st. Registration begins at 10 a.m. Take campus tours, meet faculty, and receive information on financial aid, housing, and admissions. More information and register online at moorheadstate.edu/admissions.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Sarah Fashipe, Chaz Jenkins, Jonathan Burton, Rachel Turner, Eden Jordan, Sarah Mead, and Nacogdoches Miller. WUKY's Josh James, KNN Suzanne Duvall, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from an interview with gubernatorial advisor Rocky Adkins. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.